This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
To 95.7 The Game.
Well, that is a particular intro for a very special individual as we welcome two Freedman's Appliance here in Pleasant Hill. Evan Giddings, Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game, final hour of the show. We welcome Mr. Freedman's Appliance himself, none other than Jim Cozimore. Coz, my man, what's going on?
Evan, thank you so much for having me on. Mark, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I want to take the time to say thank you for the intro music. It's phenomenal. As everyone knows, I'm a huge Creed fan. But Mark, if I'm not mistaken, you were on, and I hate to bring the memory up, the night the 49ers lost in the Super Bowl. You were on immediately following that Super Bowl. Is that correct?
That is correct, along with Sterling Bennett, who you just talked to on the phone back in the studio.
I just want to tell you guys how fantastic you were post-Super Bowl and the coverage you guys had. I listened the whole night. As soon as the game ended, I went to the app. I'm listening to 95.7 The Game, and I thought you guys really, you were both cogent in your analysis, but you were also fans. You were speaking as people who cared about what was happening, and I was riveted to the programming. So Mark and Sterling, you guys are great. And Evan, I'm a big fan, so thanks for letting me on today.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much. I mean, I've kind of blocked that night from my memory because it was so emotional.
There are no tears left, Coz.
I appreciate the kind words. Thanks so much.
I know. Yeah, it was a great show. Really fine programming, and you guys were so emotion-filled. It was riveting, and the fans had a real outlet for that. Just as the shoppers have a real outlet at Freedman's Appliance this weekend, don't they?
I was going to say, well, you're taking our show from fine to great, but before we dig into all the kind of nooks and crannies here, I mean, how did you develop a relationship with Freedman's Appliance, and what kind of drew you to what they do? Because I can tell you from being in here just the first 5 minutes, it is absolutely electric, it is magnetic, there's something for everyone, it is welcoming, and it's really an atmosphere and environment, Coz, that I feel like is befitting of anyone that walks through their doors.
Yeah, it's really awesome, and that's pretty much the way you described it is pretty much how I came about this. You know, my wife and I were blessed enough to be in the Bay Area for, well, Northern California for about almost 25 years, but the Bay Area for about 13 years. And when we were doing some work to our home, we needed some things for a brand new kitchen. And we went to Freedman's Appliance, and we had everything right there for us to utilize. We had everything that we could put our hands on. You don't just see the items there. You actually have experts in the showroom cooking on the elements, showing you what you can do with all the different things, whether it's a Miele, whether it's a Bosch, whether it's a Maytag, whatever your price point is, they've got something for you. And then subsequently, guys, just like you're doing here on the Red Tag sale days, I had a lucky opportunity to work the Red Tag sales with some guys who used to work at 95.7 The Game. And I loved walking around and tasting different foods from different kitchens and seeing different displays that were going on, and it really sold me. So I was a customer before I got to do what you guys do, and then as the kicker to the story, and I'll just close it this way, that at Freedman's Appliance, I was doing the show like you guys were, and I was talking about how they have everything from kitchen appliances to washer and dryers and dishwashers. Someone's listening with their husband. They're driving down the road right on I-80 over there. That's 680, right? You're right off of 680, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yep.
That's right. 680. You're right off of 680, the Monument Boulevard area, right there in Pleasant Hill. and they're driving up and they're listening and they said, we need a washer and dryer. We got to go. They come over, they stop and said hi. They went in and did the shopping. They got a good kind of display area that they could see everything being utilized. Boom, on the spot, they purchase it. They come out and they have some food and they sit and they hang with us for the show for another hour. So that's kind of what sold me with it. But Freedman's is a great place to be. And if anyone's looking for something, this is your weekend, the Red Tag Sale. I promise you, if you need something for your house, for your kitchen, for your outdoor kitchen, go to Freedman's this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on, Coz. I haven't been to this particular location, but it is amazing. I mean, we were here an hour early. I tried to explore around as much as I could. I could not get to every nook and cranny in this place, and there's great food, great appliances everywhere. I saw an air fryer. I don't know about you. I am on the air fryer craze. That's a thing to check out before you leave as well. I don't know how to transition from the brightness and the awesomeness of Freedman's appliance.
Well, let me tell you one more thing before
you go ahead.
I'll tell you one more thing, because here I am. I live in Franklin, Tennessee, beautiful community. It's a lot like, say, Danville, California, which is about 10 miles down the road from where you guys are sitting right now. In my kitchen, I've got a mini fridge that I purchased from Freedman's. I've got a Bosch automatic coffee maker, built-in coffee maker that makes lattes. It makes cappuccinos. It makes all different kinds of specialty coffee drinks. And you can get them right there. I went to Freedman's, bought it there before I moved here. So I've got a little bit of Freedman's in my own very house here in Tennessee. That's how great it is. But you want to make a transition? My guess is you want to make a transition into the Golden State Warriors and where they are right about now. How about that?
You are a pro, Coz. That's exactly where I was going. The awesomeness of Freedman's into another disappointing Warriors loss last night. I know you're out there in Tennessee now, but you still keep in touch with the Golden State Warriors. Pretty disappointing season. Where do you think they go from here, Coz?
You know, it's interesting. It's really funny, especially during the NCAA tournament, guys. Mm-hmm. I think I see the best of the Golden State Warriors in the commercial breaks. When I see Steph on a commercial and I see Clay eating one of the big, the big pretzels that he's promoting for Subway. And then I see Draymond doing his commercials. It's like the best of the old Golden State Warriors right in my very kitchen as I'm watching the game. But here's what I see for the Warriors going forward. This is just Father Time taking over. You in the Northern California area got to experience the greatest dynasty of this era. And that's what the Golden State Warriors have been. I think this is a greater dynasty than what the Lakers dynasty was. I think it's on par with, but maybe a little less than the Chicago Bulls dynasty that they had in the 90s. But you saw the greatest piece of it. And now you're just seeing the natural maturity of that happening. The Warriors made a statement when they said, we will pay the luxury tax. And that meant keeping the core elements to the greatest team of its era. But as a result, you're seeing the end of it. So I would say just appreciate what you can while you can, because the other option is this. You tell me, guys, Evan and Mark, let's say 4 years ago that Joe Lacob said, you know what, guys, we're going to cut the cord with our big stars, we're going to trade them, and then we're going to restart the whole process, just like the Chicago Bulls did after they won 6, and they said, Michael, happy retirement. Scotty, you're traded. Dennis Rodman, you're not getting signed. Phil Jackson, you're out the door. Would you have liked that? Or do you like the fact that you get to see these guys ride into the sunset together?
Well, I think for me, you always love the idea of a player or, you know, Western. Like, I was just watching A Fistful of Dollars the other night, Coz, and you love the idea of Clint Eastwood riding off into the sunset. But that also means that he's riding out on top. And riding out on top in sports is a very difficult thing to do, as you know, with all your wealth of wisdom. And it was interesting. So I was actually in Nashville a couple of weeks ago. I was in your hood, and I kind of got to unplug from the Warriors. And I was enjoying the southern comfort, and I was enjoying some of the libations that you guys have to offer on your side. And it was fantastic. And then I came back into the harsh reality that is the Golden State Warriors. And the up and downs and everything out there in Nashville was smooth, and whether you got your Freedman's appliance or not, you're just in cruise control. And that's where the Warriors have not been allowed to be, I think, because of what you're talking about and the leaning into the aging players. The question that I kind of have, and that we've been wrestling with over the first 2 hours, is, you know, what is optimal for Curry? What is optimal for the Warriors? And are those two things intertwined like they have been for about 15 seasons? Or is it the Warriors looking at Curry and saying, we can't think solely about you this summer with the decisions that we have to make? That's what we've been trying to wrestle with, because I think those two things, what's optimal for Steph and what's optimal for the Warriors, have never been further apart, even though Curry is obviously the star. He's the sun of what the Warriors have been.
Hey, do you guys in any way look at this situation and the Giants situation when they won three World Series championships and they had to make decisions on who was going to run the organization, whether Brian Sabian was going to continue to do it or Bobby Evans was going to continue to do it, or they needed a new voice, or whether Bruce Bochy was going to continue to be the manager or they needed a new voice, and they had Buster Posey, who was the face and the superstar of that franchise, and he opted to, you know, because of many reasons, decided to retire maybe a little bit earlier than Giants fans wanted. In some way, to me, it equates in that the Giants had to make tough decisions, and they did. And then they had that 107-win season, and we thought that they were going to catch lightning again, and unfortunately it didn't work out for them. And the Warriors might be in that same circumstance. But if I look at the Warriors and the way they've run their operation, I think they're cutthroat, but they're really intelligent. And they know that Steph Curry is a smart businessman, but really the greatest Warrior to ever wear the uniform. And I think you sit down and you have a grown-up discussion and you say, Steph, do you want to finish as a Golden State Warrior, or do you want to finish with one more chance to win a crown somewhere? Because the Warriors aren't there right now. And if Steph makes up his mind that I want to be a Warrior, then they have that harder discussion of, well, in order for us to compete, we can't be paying $45 million a year to a guy who's no longer able to play 38 to 44 minutes and no longer able to score 30 to 35 a night, especially on big nights. And yeah, if Steph Curry can have that adult view and say, I'll stay here, I'll take a haircut because I'm not the player I was. Think of Tom Brady. Tom Brady never was the highest paid quarterback when he was with the New England Patriots, and they kept being successful year in and year out. I think the Warriors can have that discussion with Steph Curry to see if they can have a partnership moving forward, or if Steph says, you know what, I want one more bite at the apple, and I know it's got to come somewhere else.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, I think the comparison with the Giants of maybe the, you know, like the 2016, 2017, 2018 season is a good comparison, because you have so many emotions tied to those players. But maybe the Giants gave one too many contracts to Brandon Belt and to Brandon Crawford, yeah, and maybe they didn't move off of Madison Bumgarner early enough. I think you're right in the sense that Joe Lacob maybe is a little bit more of a, for lack of a better term, a cutthroat businessman, mm-hmm, who is willing to maybe put his emotions with certain players to the back burner to avoid bottoming out. So we'll see, because I think this offseason really is that turning point, don't you think, Coz?
Yeah, I do think it is. I mean, every decision or every team has to have a time when their decisions are very difficult. You know, there's another scenario that I look at, and you're going to think it's weird, but the Warriors are the ones who made it happen. And that's when Oklahoma City was so close to getting to the finals when they had Kevin Durant and they had Russell Westbrook. And they were right there, and the Warriors really knocked them off, and that ended that movement, and then KD becomes a Warrior. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma City said, okay, you know what? We're going to dismantle. We're going to pick up as many draft picks as we possibly can, and we're going to give ourselves a 4 to 5 year runway. And now look at where the Oklahoma City Thunder are now. They're one of the better young teams in the Western Conference, and you can argue over the next 5 years, we think that they've got an opportunity to compete. Are the Warriors in a position, once they get the conversation with Steph Curry going, are they in the position to say, we're going to stay here and ride it out, or we are going to cut bait, we're going to do it properly, we're going to send guys where they want to go, but we are going to give ourselves that 4 or 5 year runway where we're going to restart? I don't know if Joe Lacob's willing to do that, but I think that's something that's got to be on the table if they want to restock and restart the greatness that they've had for this. It seems, what is it? It's been a decade of greatness for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. No, it's been incredible. Yeah. And, Coz, we really appreciate you kind of going down memory lane with us, because again, it feels like we're all talking about the past or the future, because the present right now for Golden State, at least in this season, appears to be a bit bleak. But I also want to thank you on a personal note, because, you know, look, when I came to 95.7 The Game, you were in this spot, you were hosting here at Freedman's Appliance. Now me, myself, along with Mark Grandy, get an opportunity to do it. So to share the airwaves with you at a place as special in Pleasant Hill as Freedman's Appliance is a really cool thing for me. So thank you.
Hey, you know, listen, I am so appreciative of you saying that. You guys are fantastic. It is no secret, I'm a big fan of you guys and 95.7 The Game. I listen on the app all the time. I told you about the Super Bowl stuff. I listen on the weekends because I kind of like hearing everybody with their different opinions. But you guys got a special time there today. And just one more pitch for Freedman's Appliance. Listen, if you need anything for your home, it doesn't matter, Miele, Bosch, Electrolux, LG, Maytag, it doesn't matter. Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill all day today, tomorrow from 10 until 5 p.m. They've got something on the red tag sale. You know what? If you're just hungry and you want to stop and eat, do that and you'll be happy. You'll thank me when you see me.
Absolutely. No,
thank you so much for having me on. I feel like I've stolen all your time and I feel bad about that.
We're good, cuz.
Fans of both of you guys and Sterling. I'm a huge fan of Sterling, too. But I'm big fans of all you guys at 95.7 The Game, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Appreciate it, Coz. Be well out of Nashville, my man.
We miss you out here.
We do.
Hey, we miss you guys, too. Anytime you guys come out, text me, and I'll meet you. I'll take you downtown to Broadway, or I'll take you out to a ball game, whether it's Titans or Predators. We'll have some fun.
Right on, Coz. Thank you, man. Be well.
Bye. See you guys. Take care.
And that is Jim Cozumore, Mr. Freedman's Appliance himself. I mean, you heard it. Of course, everything going on today, which has been fantastic. We've talked to fantastic and loyal listeners here at 95.7 The Game.
They're bringing us food.
They brought us food, yeah. Rocking New Era on the YouTube chat brought us what looks like appears to be a
brisket slider?
Brisket prime. I don't know, but it's got some peppers in there, and that is my lane. We got an ice-cold pop that was delivered to us during the interview that we much appreciate as well. Matt Steinmetz is here. Justin Beltre is here. We got Dana Ali in the house. We got a lot of loyal listeners, San Jose Jazz fan, Rockin' New Air, Ernie Chavez, all the rest here as we move along on 95.7 The Game, and still have you up until 3 o'clock right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. But I think Coz, you know, is hopping in, Mark, to our conversation, which is the tough conversation you got to have with Steph himself. I mean, there needs to be kind of, I think, an evaluation this summer of where the Warriors see themselves in regards to him, because he's right, and I think the Giants are a really good example of what you don't want to happen after you run off multiple World Series, which is a period of irrelevancy in regards to holding on too long to things of past.
The Giants conversation is an interesting one because the Giants won in 2010, 2012, and 2014. And obviously the core, there's kind of a different group of guys that won in 2012 and 14 and in 2010. Like 2010 was...
And then they got bounced in the first round of 2016, right?
Correct.
The NLDS. Yeah.
2010 was Edgar Renteria, and it was Aubrey Huff, and it was Freddie Sanchez, and it was Andres Torres. And then 2012 was kind of a different group. That's when Crawford came in, when Belt came in. So a little bit of a different beginning to that dynastic era, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Giants fans out there who feel like the 2021 season, when they won 107 games, if you fall short of winning it all, that almost was like a bad thing that happened to them, because it convinced them to hang out longer and to give another contract to Brandon Belt and to Brandon Crawford. And it kept around Madison Bumgarner, although, of course, you know, he's a Giants legend, and the 2014 postseason is something we're never going to forget. He was incredible. But that run almost convinced the Giants front office, like, all right, this group still has a couple more years in them. We're going to hand them more dollars, expensive contracts, and it's going to kind of hamstring us the next couple of years. Now, I'm not saying that the 2022 championship for the Giants or for the Warriors is the similar thing, because you win a championship, it's worth the world. Like, it doesn't matter what you gave up. You got a championship, it's worth it. But there is a part of you that feels like, all right, winning in 2022, that's part of the reason why Draymond Green got a giant contract extension, while maybe Klay Thompson is going to get one as well. Let's say we live in a world, Evan, where the Warriors did not win it all in 2022.
I hate that world.
Are they currently in the same unfortunate position that they are in, or have they already moved off of some of these aging veteran pieces, and maybe they're in a little bit of a better position moving forward? I'm not saying you'd rather be there, because you want the championship, obviously.
Yeah.
But if we're trying to draw a comparison to the Giants and what happened in the 2021 season for the Giants, 2022 for the Warriors might be similar because it convinced them, hey, this group still has more in it, but as of right now, we're uncertain about that.
Well, the one thing that makes it difficult in comparison to the Giants, you're right, you talked about kind of the iterations or the different teams. And in baseball, you got a larger roster, you're going to have guys coming in and out. But, like, Lindstrom was more important to the 2010 championship than he was to the 12 or the 14. Like you mentioned, Crawford was more important to the 12 and the 14 than he wasn't on the 10. Kane was more important to the first, I think it was the first two chips,
yeah,
but not the third one. You know, so the big boys and the mainstays, I mean, Sandoval, for example, all three, I think Belt, but like...
Or the core three in the bullpen. Those won all three.
Exactly. Yeah. What, Affelt, Romo, and...
And Casilla.
Casilla, yeah. Yeah. So... The difference is
and Javier Lopez.
Yeah. So, but it stands that the difference between that and now is that Klay, Draymond, and Curry, and Steve Kerr, for example, have won all four, and they won four, yeah, from 2015 to 2022. It is so what makes the Warriors so unique also makes what the choice they have to make now, in my opinion, so damn difficult because there's never been. Coz was talking about how special this dynasty is in comparison to others. What I think makes it most important or unique from other dynasties in basketball is just the singular, the linear amount of time in which you've had three core pieces. Your best three players, arguably, on different groups. I mean, Kevin Durant comes in and helps you get two of them. He reorganized the hierarchy. But one through four, those three guys are your most important pieces. And that just has not happened in the history of basketball, in baseball specifically with the Giants. So that is what makes the decision this offseason, I think, so interesting but really hard to make. You know, if we're talking about decisions, I know Steiny brought up, you know, maybe trying to go get LeBron and what you'd have to do monetarily to make it happen. To me, I think that's a little bit of a pipe dream, LeBron specifically, but also just the idea of bringing in a huge, you know, roster-shaking superstar, whether it's at age 40 or age 27, I think that's going to be really hard to do because there's not a lot of players out there. And I do have a theory of how they can reorganize themselves but also keep pieces of the past and utilize them better. So that's what's coming up on the other side. Final half hour on 95.7 The Game, live from Freedman's Appliance. Get out here for their once yearly red tag clearance sale. Tomorrow, Sunday, also an opportunity from 10 to 5. Great deals, great food, great vibes, great people. 38 of them here to help you organize your home, your kitchen, everything you need. Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill has it. That's Mark Granny. My name is Evan Giddings. Thank you to Jim Cosmore coming on at the top of this hour. Go back and rewind on the Odyssey app or on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, and check that out. Mr. Freedman's Appliance himself, and we continue from Freedman's.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Appliance on the other side on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
Make all the difference because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
It has been nothing but good times here at Freedman's Appliance. We got a half hour left of our live show, but you can hang out at Freedman's Appliance until 5 o'clock. The Red Tag Clearance Sale, which is yearly, happens this weekend. It is also going on tomorrow. from 10 to 5. Big thank you to Jim Cozumore hopping on at 2 o'clock. He's got Friedman's Appliance everywhere in his home. You can get yours right here in Pleasant Hill. Evan Giddings and Mark Grandy with you on 95.7 The Game, talking Dubs in the meantime, intermittent with pizza bites.
You got to eat your pizza bites, though.
Well, yeah, I was working on a tri-tip slider that Rocket New Era was kind enough to drop off, so appreciate him for that. Thank you to Ernie Chavez, San Jose Jazz fan. Matt Steinmetz is still here. I'm sure he's somewhere meandering around, just kind of lollygagging like usual. But Justin Beltre is also here hanging out. Dana Ali's in the building. Shout out Wisconsin. You guys took a tough L, though, man. James Madison took it to you. I'm sorry, brother. He's down bad. Hey, don't worry. You're still in a better position than Golden State right now, as they stand at the 10 seed, 3 games above 500, 1.5 back of the Lakers for 9, 2 games up on Houston for the 11 seed. Yeah, I think Mark really the last, 13 games of this season, everyone's just going to be wondering, what happens. I know there's still a lot to be played in the regular season, and perhaps decisions are going to be made based on those 13 games. I think probably the result of the playoffs or play-in, however far the Warriors go. But I have to imagine, with everything that we've heard throughout this season, even just reading some of the body language after games, I think on Monday, Curry coming out and saying that it doesn't matter where we are in the seeding. We could be 1, we could be 12. We're playing like this, we're not going anywhere. The frustration that it kind of looked like was on his face and was on a few players' face after the Friday night defeat to Indiana. It just feels like, Mark, the team kind of knows. Like, you can say everything publicly, and Kerr's been optimistic, and that's his job. But the team feels like they know that this group bluntly just doesn't have it.
Yeah. I think that's what they know internally. They're not going to admit it publicly. I mean, Steve Kerr was asked last night after the game, after the 123-111 loss to the Pacers. He was just straight up asked, all right, you've strung some losses together now. After a really good stretch, felt like you were turning things around, but now you just got more of the same. Do you feel like in these final 13 games, do you have to recalibrate at all? Like, are you adjusting expectations? Are you thinking, well, all right, the 6th seed is basically out of reach, the 7th seed's out of reach, the 8th seed's out of reach, we might not even be the 10. Mm-hmm. The Houston Rockets are the hottest team in the NBA, and they're hot on our heels. Do you have to recalibrate what you think of this team? And he's simply said, no, we don't got to recalibrate. I still feel like we're a good team. We put a run together, then, we can figure this thing out. Okay, well, what else is he going to say publicly? He's not going to publicly question his team. But you feel like we're going to get to a situation, the same situation we were in last year. If you remember, Steve Kerr said all the same things last year.
Yeah.
And maybe you feel like last year was more emotionally tumultuous because of what happened off the court, although there has been a lot of emotions involved this year too, with Klay Thompson being pulled out of the starting lineup and his clear frustration over that and some other things as well. But Steve Kerr talked about how much he believed in this team all of last year. And then the second the Lakers series ended, one of the first things he said on the podium at the end of that series when they lost Game 6 in L.A. was, yeah, we were never a championship team. You feel like we're headed towards something similar whenever this season ends, if it is in the regular season, they don't make the play-in, or if they lose in L.A. in the play-in, or they beat the Lakers, then they lose to the Suns in Phoenix, or they lose to the Nuggets. Whenever this season ends, we might get a similar statement from Steve Kerr. Yeah, we never really felt like we were a championship team. They're just saying those things publicly because in my mind, Evan, as I try to pull myself away from the emotions of being a Warriors fan, which at times is very difficult to do, but when I do that and I try to get myself a moment of clarity, it seems pretty clear to me that the simple fact is that this is not a very good basketball team, and I can't imagine that there are many people in that locker room who are still legitimately holding on to that belief that they can get it done.
There are good basketball players on this team, but they've shown themselves over the course of the year because of their own actions or because of their own play that they're an average team. They are what their record says they are. Whether they've blown tons of games or they've scraped together a couple wins they shouldn't have gotten, at the end of the day, they're 4-6 in their last 10. They've played one good month of basketball out of 4 to this point, and they are 3 games above 500 on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs and the play-in tournament. So, the question is kind of where do you go from here? How do you move beyond? And I feel optimistic about the prospects of one Jonathan Kuminga. I'm still not necessarily there yet with someone like Brandon Pajemski, even though I love what he's added this year. I feel like next season, if the Warriors are to contend, his role might be what Chris Paul's is this season, which is the first guard off the bench and being able to close games and give you different things and connect. But I think he has been forced into a situation because of the drop-off from other veterans to have to step up. And I think that's what we've learned so much about this roster is that finally – there are young players, as Matt Steinmetz digs into a piece of ravioli whole, by the way. You know you can use two or three bites to get through that piece of pasta. Feel free. I don't know if that's
that
how they do it in Northern Italy.
I wish we had a camera on them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. It's like it's tough because I'm also looking at a team right now that is led by Curry, who's going on 36 and 37. And – you know, one thing I do agree with Steiny about, and I think we're going to hear a lot about it on Monday, so lock in from 10 to 2, is how important at the highest level is Curry still? How well can he play consistently to keep the Warriors in contention? I think the rest of the roster, no doubt, needs to be addressed because he is not good enough anymore to drag the requisite pieces around him as far as he used to be able to do even a year or two ago. But one thing that caught my eye is this idea we talk about a lot, the on-off splits. How good are the Warriors when Curry's on the floor? How good are they when he's off the floor? Because historically, they've been terrible when he's off the floor. It's one of the reasons why Nikola Jokic, for example, is such a valuable piece. You look at his on-off splits, he's at the top of the league. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is at the top of the league.
Which is where Steph has been his whole career.
Exactly, and that's why he's been an MVP candidate for the majority of his prime. Curry this season, the Warriors, the win probability of him being on and off the floor, the differential is negative 0.01. Mm. They are net neutral this season with him on and off the floor. They are 22 points better when he's on over the entirety of the season. That's a little indicative of, I think, how much he's been able to impact games and really steal games for Golden State this year compared to last year. Over the 82-game season, they were 367 points better when he was on the floor. 2 years ago when they won the championship, they were 541 points better when he was on the floor as opposed to off. This year, for whatever reason, inconsistency, maybe the shooting's dropped off a little bit, even though the numbers, he's still leading the league in threes. The overall production from Curry is not as high as it's even been a season ago. And I don't necessarily believe it's all of a sudden just going to get back into MVP area. So how do the Warriors find a way to supplement some of his own falloff? That's another thing that we need to address.
That's an interesting number because, one, I think it tells you a couple of things, and actually one of them is a positive. The negative, though, is that when Steph is on the floor, obviously this isn't the elite team that they once were. And maybe part of that is because, you know, he was saddled with a struggling Klay early in the season, saddled with a struggling Andrew Wiggins early in the season, and the majority of Steph's minutes are with those two on the floor. You could say the same thing for Kevon Looney. That was three of your five starters to begin the season. So maybe part of it is who he's playing alongside.
He was also playing alongside Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome last year.
That's a good point. So maybe it's not quite as drastic as I'm making it out to be. The other side of it, though, is that your bench has been pretty darn good. So maybe you have a little bit less drop-off. Now, if you were to tell me that at the beginning of the season, that the drop-off from Steph to non-Steph minutes, i.e. starters to the bench, isn't going to be that drastic, I don't know about you, but I'd be thinking that this was probably like a 50-win team because that had been the Warriors' issue. Can you survive the non-Steph minutes? You build the 10-point lead with Steph on the floor. He's going to rest for 6 minutes. Is it going to be a tie game when he comes back? Are you going to be outscored by 10 minutes or by 10 points in those 6 minutes when he's off the floor? That hasn't really been the case. Now, maybe it's because when he's on the floor, they haven't been as good, but there is something to say about the fact that the bench has largely been a really big plus for the Warriors this year.
It has, and I think a big reason for that is Chris Paul. I think when he's been healthy. And I also think it's because someone like Klay Thompson has taken to a relegated role. And he, to his credit, has shot the hell out of the basketball. I know he was 3-for-10 last night against Indiana, but I think since he's gone to the bench, he's in the 45, 44-ish three-point range compared to sub-40, which is what he's been overall this season. He's had, I think, 8 of 12 or 8 of 13 games in which he's made 5-plus threes off the bench. His first 53 starts only had 12 of such affairs. So, like, he's definitely more of a gunner now. And actually, that's why I think there is a spot for Clay on this team next year, because when I look around the rest of the league, OKC's the number one three-point shooting team. That's a big part of their offense. They have eight guys that are shooting 40% or north from three-point range. Denver has five of those players. Minnesota has five. LA, the Clippers, I should say, have five. New Orleans has four. Phoenix, three. LA, three. The Warriors right now have one player shooting above 40% from three-point range, and his name is Steph. That's a problem. So unless you're going to find me multiple shooters in a league that you need to be able to knock down threes at a high clip to contend with the top of the top, unless you're telling me that you can go out and find multiple of those dudes that can also defend and are willing to step into the starting lineup and give you 30 to 35 minutes a night, I think there's a place for Klay Thompson on this team, and that's why I would suggest that they pay him this offseason and align him as a guy that has shown you when he's not starting, when he doesn't need to play major minutes, that he can still be a viable three-point threat. Because what I learned last night against Indiana was there's going to be some times when Curry can't get his shot against younger, quicker guards, and you need a secondary score. Klay Thompson's no longer that as a starter or sometimes a closer, but they don't have another one of those players.
Yeah, I mean, if it seems like Klay has bought into that role, and Klay as a player, the style in which he plays, I don't think it was that much of a shock that that kind of player would be a good sixth man, a good off-the-bench guy. But the question was always, how is his ego going to deal with it, his emotions? And this isn't an attack on Klay. I mean, you are the top of your game. You're a Hall of Famer. You've won four championships. If it wasn't for your running mate, you might be known as the greatest three-point shooter who ever lived. Like, you are much better, 1,000% better at basketball than I am at anything. Like, you're so good at something I can't even fathom how good you are. So I understand that. But it's not a surprise if he got over that hurdle that he could be an effective shooter and scorer. And something that was very frustrating about the Warriors last night was you're going up against a Pacers team bad defensively. Like, they're the best offense in the NBA, but they're, you know, sixth in the East because they have one of the worst defenses in the league. They allow the third most points per game, and the Warriors began the game on fire. It felt like it was going to be a race for 130, like first to 130 wins, and then the Warriors quarters 2 through 4 were really, really bad offensively. And some of it was, all right, maybe you're forcing some threes and are not trying to get into the paint, but Siakam locking up Jonathan Kuminga, and whenever the Warriors would get into the paint, it was Miles Turner blocking shots and Tyrese Haliburton recovering off of Steph pump fakes and blocking multiple Steph jump shots and Klay Thompson hoisting a little bit. What other choice did you have? Nothing was working. Put them up. And if they go in, maybe it gets you out of a hole, but they didn't, and you lose as a result. So if you are the Warriors and you see that offensive performance against a relatively poor defense and you try to think, all right, well, how do we improve and how do we make sure we're fine offensively with an aging Steph? Maybe it is, well, all right, Klay settled into this role, we need him back. But then what comes into question is, well, what contract is he going to accept? Because I think most of us can agree Klay in the right role is still a valuable piece, but it's not just a blank check to Klay. Those days are well past us. Can they fit it in contractually and economically? Because that is certainly not a given.
Oh, guys are tripping over the deals we got here at Freeman's Appliance. I mean, all these red tag tails. What's going on, my man?
the food is all
around you, brother. Yeah. Appreciate it. Oh, thanks for the love, man. Look, we've got a lot of loyal listeners that have stopped by, people that are either they listen every day. Do you listen on YouTube? On a guru? Oh, I'm a goofu. I'll make sure to tell him that on Monday. You can just call Steiny a fool. How about that? No, we love Steiny. He hopped on with us earlier. And, you know, I think a lot of the questions we've tossed around here for the last, or the better part of 3 hours, are things that are kind of going to drive the conversations, not just this week, for a lot of the summer. And, you know, for some reason, you know, Coe's just got me kind of thinking, Grandy, about, you know, the similarities between the Giants and the Warriors. You know, the Giants had their own dynasty, even though it was, I guess, a little more condensed than the Warriors is. But because of Curry, I just think it makes things so much more difficult to just move on. And I don't think there's anybody that would give back the 2022 championship. Every single bit of that season was absolutely worth it. And maybe that season is why the last two have been so frustrating, because they were able to find and conjure this magic that was so unexpected that everyone just felt like the hope and surprise that was that year is just going to happen again. And it doesn't look like it is, but it feels like, I don't know how you feel about this, it seems kind of obvious as to why, in my mind. It's because...
Yeah, tell me why. What is it?
Well, their most important players are either too young or too old. And I think that's what it boils down to. When you look at the rest of the teams that they're going to have to beat to potentially win a championship...
Yeah, like if you were to ask how many players on the Warriors roster are in their prime...
There's one, and he's
Andrew
the most
Wiggins.
Inconsistent
exactly.
player on the roster.
Exactly. So when you're one guy who's in his athletic prime, his athletic peak, who should be at the peak of his powers, as they say, as a basketball player, when that one guy is the guy who has been the lightning rod all season, that's a recipe for a disaster. No matter how great your guys out of their prime are,
yeah.
Like Steph, 36 years old, as of 9 days ago, like, he is a Hall of Famer, first ballot, unanimous. He's going to, like, arguably the best point guard of all time, maybe second best at the worst, top 10 player this league has ever seen. He's 36 years old, and it's becoming, it's unfortunately true, but it's becoming a little bit more obvious that he just simply can't shoulder the load that he once did. And the fact that he kept it up for as long as he did is remarkable, because he's 36 years old. One of the only other guys who's carried this kind of load like he did at 36 is LeBron, who's arguably the greatest player to ever live. So I'm with you. I mean, you don't have the ideal roster when it comes to guys that are in their athletic peak. And if you don't have that, you're going to have to be excellent everywhere else, and the Warriors just simply aren't excellent everywhere else.
Well, and I guess that's why I would lean towards getting younger. And I don't mean, like, just bring in a bunch of rookies. I've talked about this a lot on postgame. It's like I would try to lower the average age of the team, because I think if you have an aging roster, inevitably you're going to run into this point in the season where some of your older guys aren't able to conjure it up every single night. Or maybe it could be just a simple fact that, you know, some of the older guys are trying to save themselves a little bit for the playoffs, but you got to get there first. Like, something that kind of caught my eye over the last 10 games, in which they've gone 4-6, and that was following a 19-game stretch in which they went 14-5. Defensively, they have not guarded the three-point line. That was glaring against New York. It was glaring against Memphis, and it was kind of glaring last night against Indiana. So this whole week, and really the last 10, they have not guarded the three-point line. They've given up nearly 15, which is fourth most in the last 10. Opponents are shooting 39.3%, which is fourth most. And I think it was interesting that the other teams that also do not defend the three-point line or have not during that period are Milwaukee, Phoenix, the Clippers, and the Lakers. All five of the teams, including the Warriors I just named, are some of the oldest rosters in basketball. It's not that they don't choose to defend the three. It's that they're not able to. And I think that's a problem with older teams, whether it's in the regular season or especially in the playoffs. So getting younger, to me, somehow, some way, and maybe it is trying to identify players that are not stars, but players that are more in their primes or entering their primes, that has to be the focus. I think that has to be the goal this offseason.
The Warriors brought the three-point revolution to the NBA, and now the three-point revolution is
swallowing
them
whole.
Exactly. Exactly. They just don't have the guys, the athletes, one, to consistently make them on one end. Like, if Stephen Clay's threes aren't falling, who is going to hit them consistently on your roster? There's nobody. Nobody else. I mean, Pajemski finally broke out of his mini shooting slump last night, made three threes, two of them in the first quarter. That was good to see. But, I mean, Chris Paul will make them every once in a while. Wiggins is as streaky as they come from downtown. Kuminga, that jumper hasn't quite developed yet. If it does, though, watch out, because he's got so much else in his bag if he gets a consistent jumper. But as of now, you're not going to win in the NBA without making three-pointers. That's why the Warriors were so good, a big reason why they were so good.
Yeah.
When they were winning championships. I think their defense was always underrated, but they also had the most powerful, efficient, the offense that could put up 15 points in like a two-minute stretch when they would really catch fire, and they could just blow you out of games. They could play terrible for 2.5 quarters, put together a good 6 minutes, and be right back in a game. Like, that's And some of that is getting stops on the other end of the floor, but they just hit three after three after three. Good luck to anybody else. They're not that team anymore. And most other teams, at least the teams that are legitimately hoping to win a championship, they're better at than the Warriors in that area of basketball nowadays.
The one thing that flew under the radar about their most recent title run to me was they weren't a great offensive team. Like, if you go look at their numbers, they were middle of the pack. But they were the number one defensive team in basketball. Like, they won because they could defend, because they could lock down opposing offenses, because Wiggins was a two-way bulwark, because Draymond was playing center field at the peak of his powers on some occasions, because Gary Payton II was a great on-ball defender off the bench, because Porter was switchable, because someone like Clay was still better defensively than he, you know. There's just been fall off all the way around the roster to me, and it's been most glaring defensively. And maybe, you know, look, Indiana's a really good offensive team, but I just watching them last night and watching them on occasion throughout the year, when Draymond doesn't have a good game, when Curry doesn't have a good game, it's just like you're trying to puzzle piece this thing together. And I guess I'm trying to figure out how they can become less dependent on players that are becoming older and older. And it feels like they're almost more dependent on Curry to hone in specifically than they ever have been before, which is completely unfair to him, because logic would tell you that as someone gets older, you should become less dependent on them. And instead, it's been in the reverse. It's like a Benjamin Button situation where Curry started out as the old man and now he's going to a baby and we're still just... I don't know. Well, that was a terrible example. But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's moving in reverse of how dependent they are on this guy still at this stage in his career.
Yeah. I mean, what does Steve Kerr say? Like, you got an undue burden on Stephen Curry for most of his career.
Yeah.
The burden has never been larger or heavier than it is right now. And you're 36 years old. You've played so many games this year. What did you say? 63 games this year?
Mm-hmm.
For Steph Curry, he's
missed,
what,
70, five he's games? He's got to play 70 games plus this season. Yeah.
He's missed, what, five? They're 1-4 in those five without him. And I know on-off splits, like, it's relatively even, but you still can see the impact that Steph makes on any given night. And in a game like last night, I mean, he shot 9-for-24 from the field. So much of that is because nothing else was working offensively. And when nothing else is working, what do you want the two-time MVP, the greatest shooter who ever lived, to do? Put up shots, but guess what? The Pacers knew that was coming as well.
That's true. Well, you know what's coming our way? You want to grab a fridge?
Yes. Does it come with stocked with food and beer?
Yes, just beer. But it comes stocked with a lot of different things. And this entire place, Friedman's Appliance, is stocked. It is chock full of amazing deals all throughout the weekend, 10 to 5 tomorrow. If you can't get out here before the end of the 5 o'clock showing later on today, Pleasant Hill, California, Friedman's Appliance. Really appreciate them letting us set up, do our live show for the last 3 hours. Big thank you to Dan DeVoe, Sterling Bennett, who's also back in the studios doing double trouble behind the board, helping us rock this thing as we do here.
We got another
Friedman's
one next
Appliance.
Week or what? Can we come back?
Well, I'm going to stick around. I know that for sure. I might come back here tomorrow. It's only like a 30-minute drive from the city, in fact.
It's
not even that bad whatsoever. They got 38 people here to help you with whatever appliance you need for your home, for your kitchen, for if you need a washing or drying unit, which we're right next to, which we might need. In the meantime, appreciate everyone joining us that called in today. YouTube chat, Twitch chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Everyone from the YouTube chat that showed up today, shout out to Rockin' New Era. Shout out to San Jose Jazz fan, as well as his lovely wife.
Ernie.
Shout out to Ernie Chavez. Shout out to, I think the guy that, he said he coined the term goofu, but he didn't give us his name. He's a great dude. Shout out to everyone. Justin Beltre here getting us all set up and helping us tear down after. Matt Steinmetz, who joined us on the broadcast. Jim Cozumore, Mr. Friedman's Appliance himself, hopping on with us to break down what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. And a big thank you to everyone that tuned in to this edition. Live from Friedman's Appliance, 95.7 The Game. For my partner, Mark Grandy, my name is Evan Ginning, saying so long. We'll talk to you. And also, stay tuned, because I believe Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys is doing a live show tomorrow, same time.
12 to 3.
Not from Friedman's Appliance, but they're doing a live show getting you into and getting you set for Giants baseball.
Yeah, so Shasky and Lubman, 12 to 3. And then when they're done, I got you covered with Warriors Live ahead of Warriors T-Wolves.
Exactly, yeah. And that is a big one. seeing another member of the 2020 draft class, Anthony Edwards, who's been pretty good himself. So that'll do it live for us here at Freeman's Appliance. Shout out to you all. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Get out for the once yearly Red Tag clearance sale tomorrow, 10 to 5, Freeman's Appliance, Pleasant Hill, California. Thank you all for chiming in. For Mark Grandy, Evan Giddings with you. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you very much.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.